Welcome to the Partnership Economy. This podcast explores the power of partnerships through candid conversations with industry leaders. Join our hosts, Dave Yovano, CEO, and Todd Crawford, co-founder of Impact.com, as they unpack the future of partnerships as a lever for scale and an opportunity to put the consumer first.
Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Partnership Economy podcast. I'm your host, Todd Crawford. And I'm excited for you to hear today's episode with Jennifer Bentz of Resident Home. It's filled with informative and fun tidbits. Jen is the VP of Affiliates, Influencers, and Partnerships at Resident Home, a retailer that owns famous mattress brands like Nectar and Dream Cloud. She has over two decades of experience working across various verticals from fitness to mattress brands. She also has managed multiple D2C brands and has used her breadth of knowledge in major digital channels such as affiliate, display, search, and social to serve as a mentor to others. In this episode, Jen and I will explore the importance of content partnerships and their role in the buyer journey, the impact of changing algorithms on major search engines, and the combined power of using affiliates and influencers together. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Jen, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Hey, Todd, and very nice to be here and excited that you guys asked me to join.
Yeah. We really want to learn more about your approach to partnerships. To kick us off and give everybody a little bit of background on you, why don't you tell us your title and the company you work for and any other details everybody should know?
Yeah. So my name is Jen Bentz. I am currently the VP of Affiliates, Partnerships, and Influencers at Resident Home. Actually, we just got acquired by Ashley Furniture. Been here for almost 6 years in July, and our team manages the performance acquisition, and there is another team that manages the paid acquisition part. I've been in the affiliate space for, I think, 23 years. Started in 2001.
So under the parent umbrella or the corporate umbrella, can you just tell us some of the mattress brands or sites that you guys run?
Yeah, so we are a family of mattress brands, mostly bed-in-the-box mattress brands, known for the biggest ones would be Nectar Mattress, Dream Cloud Mattress. Our newest one is Clover Lane, which is not a bed-in-the-box. That one differentiates itself from the other ones. It's shipped flat. It is a very luxurious mattress. It's meant for a different type of consumer. Nectar is your value consumer. Dream Cloud is more luxury consumer. The demographic, the age range is a little bit higher. You've got Sienna, which is a cheaper mattress. You can get a twin for $199. You've got Awara for the people that are more natural focused. And then Clover Lane is like the super luxury mattress.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, mattresses have definitely exploded. When you come from like a subscription model or traditional retail, your AOVs are maybe in the $70, $80 range, and mattresses are 10 to 30 times that. So it's obviously from a consumer's perspective, high value purchase and high consideration, right? I don't want to spend $1,000, $2,000 on a mattress and get the wrong one, even though they have, you can test them out at home and things like that. People want to make as much of an informed decision as possible. And I think that kind of leads into the type of partnerships you guys focus most on, which are the content review sites versus coupon and loyalty. Can you just talk about your approach to the partner mix that you guys look for?
Yeah, because the AOV is so much higher, it's not an impulse buy. It's not something that's under $100 where they're going to quickly put their credit card down. No, it's a $1,000 purchase. Sometimes there's a partner that you need to consult with. Your partner may sleep, maybe a back sleeper, and then you may be a side sleeper. So there's a lot of research that needs to be done. So a lot of our partners that we work with are mattress review sites. So people are looking for that information. Like you mentioned, content is hugely important for us because that consumer is not going to make that decision right away.
In a lot of these content sites that do the reviews and the evaluations, a lot of their traffic is derived from organic search results. So they may do some paid media and some social to create awareness and drive traffic. But primarily, when you type into search, what's the best mattress for a side sleeper or best mattress under $1,000 or at $1,000, these are the sites that typically index. But the times, they are changing. So there's been some changes with Google in how they index content. And that's maybe adversely affecting some of these sites, huh?
We track this all the time. We track the changes in the Google algorithms and what's tracking on the first page for different keywords. But we've seen a lot of volatility since, I think they made the, Google made the change, it was like around, I think it was Cyber Monday, if I'm not mistaken. And just the rankings went bananas. They went crazy. They were just all over the place. So a lot of people lost ranking, some gained ranking, Reddit gained ranking, Quora gained ranking. So it seems like Google's making a lot of changes right now. We're keeping track of it to see what's happening. And since that change, we have seen it like every day, it's a different result. So no consistency.
That's so yet. Weird that they would be like feeling like you're testing search results with real humans as opposed to maybe using automated testing in a dev environment, because their whole motto is trying to put the best results in front of the consumer that aren't paid, right? Because if their organic results don't seem good, people don't like the search engine, right? That's the reason that they've been good for so long. And they've made these algorithm changes for decades now, but it is weird that they would push older, less valuable, less thorough content to the top. It seems to go against their kind of, what I guess my mental model is of how the search engine results should appear, what other people are seeing. Because if they're, this isn't just specific probably to mattress results, right? That are being indexed differently. These sites that you described, that you mentioned that are writing mattress reviews, are some of them are doing other products reviews. They're not just a mattress only review site, the Forbes and Time and the likes. They're actually reviewing all kinds of products and creating, you know, gift guides and lots of things that historically have indexed well. And we know consumers love that because it feels like it's objective, real world experience with a product. People just want to get as close to what feels like the right mattress and then make the decision, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or find someone that looks like them in a video and be like, okay, that's the mattress that I need. And they said they sleep the same.
Yeah, I remember the first time I bought a mattress in the box, the amount of reviews, YouTube and written, that I went through trying to figure out what should I get? Which one? There's so many little nuances. So let's shift gears just a little bit. Your title has both influencer and affiliate in it. How do those converge under you and how do they work together or are they siloed off?
They're siloed off and now they're coming together. So it's a totally different group of people and they behave differently. That you have to work with one a certain way and work with the other a certain way. And there's different processes for each of them. But we need influencers just as much as we need our affiliates, because like I said, you mentioned the AOV is so high. People are looking for that to make that decision. Over time, they're not going to make that decision very quickly. So with our affiliates and our content sites that we work with, that's more before the purchase. What kind of mattress do I need? Helping them choose the right mattress. For the content creators, our influencers, what we want to use them for is really the unboxing. What does it look like? I'm getting a mattress in a box. What does that mean to me? So we do a lot of unboxing experiences with our influencers. So they can say, okay, they've got the mattress box, came to the door. How big is it? People are wondering. They open the door. You can see how big it is. And it shows them carrying it up the stairs. They may or may not need help. It shows that it comes with a little envelope cutter. So they'll cut the box open and then they'll cut the cellophane and they can see how fast it inflates. And I think that's the biggest thing that people don't understand. How is a mattress coiled into a round ball and then it just opens up into a full-size mattress? So that gives that experience. And that's why we work with a lot of these influencers.
Well, I imagine a lot of people like to watch it because if you do get a mattress, you only get to do it once, right? You get to experience. It is an interesting experience. Like it's all rolled up in this long tube. You get it onto the frame the best you can. And when you open it, it comes
it
open.
Up, it's, yeah.
That's a little mini exciting moment there, and you only get it once. So maybe watching it a few times gets you excited for yours. And I guess if you want to experience it again.
I'll never forget my mom. This is like when I first started working at a Resident. We went to Costco and she starts looking at mattresses. I'm like, Mom, why are you looking at mattresses right now? I work for a mattress company. She's like, you work for a mattress in a box company, Jen. They told me on the radio, they said, don't buy a mattress in a box. I'm like, yeah, that's called marketing. It's all the same mattress. So it's for people like that mentality that they're used to buying a flat mattress and getting it shipped to the house. So those videos are great to see on the influencer side. But to answer your question, you had asked, like, how are they converging? They're really converging because 3 years ago, I would say, when we started to work with influencers, they worked for, honestly, a mattress. They wanted a free mattress and we didn't have to pay a flat fee. And it's a high value product. So that's what they wanted. They did that review for us. Now we're looking for really high quality content. And 4 years later, our influencers that we're working with, they know what affiliate programs are now. So they're more well-versed in it and they're looking for a commission. So that's how it's really converging, is that we're setting everyone up in the impact program. They're earning a commission for whatever they sell. And we use the coupon code technology that Impact provides to help track stuff in stories and posts, and working out well.
Yeah. Well, I imagine a lot of the content can help people just realize that these mattresses are out there and I should start thinking about them and understanding what's the pros and cons or the differences are between them all.
Yeah, for sure. And then with things like right now, like the Oura Ring and the Whoop, that also like tracks all your sleep stats, and even like the Google Nest does it as well. So there are a lot of sleep doctors out there right now that are really leaning in on this content. Like, you'll notice like some of our content sites, like the Sleep Foundation, and you've got the Sleepopolis, they each have their own sleep doctors. And that's what they're there for, to help you figure out, like, why do you need about your back is hurting, you may need a new mattress. If it's been over 5 years, you may need a new mattress. And like you said, that's what they're depending on this content for, is to figure out why they're not sleeping well.
There's two ways to work with creators, right? There's, hey, if you want to promote, get a free mattress and put a link or a coupon code and get a commission, we'd love to work with you. And then there's campaigns. Maybe you guys have a new line or a new brand and you want to get a lot of awareness out there and a product launch. Are you doing that? And I guess I'm just trying to understand, like, how do you decide who's best to do that versus more of the reviews? Because you need it all.
You need it all. So we use creators differently, like, for different things. So one is campaigns. I'll just give you an example of one of the campaigns that we ran a few years ago. We had our first ever flash sale and we wanted to do 100 influencers, get 100 creators, and they could post on the same day when the flash sale. The flash sale was one day, 24 hours only. They all posted on that same day. And it took a long time to try to get all those, because you have to get contracts for everyone, make sure they're signed up to Impact, find the right creators. And it was literally like, hey, the flash sale is happening. Here's a mattress. We just got this Nectar mattress. It's awesome. You should get it too. Everyone buy it on this date. I think it was like March 6th or something a few years back. So it did really well for awareness, but we have no idea like the amount of what was attributed to themselves, because people probably just went straight to the site. But that's one type of campaign that we've done. To your point, it's the product line announcement or a special flash sale. But we've also worked with creators to get content, really to get content that we can use ourselves in our paid media ads. So we always want to make sure that we own the content when we do contracts and we have full rights to it. The content that they create, that's their specialty, is creating content. It works so much better than getting a highly produced ad. So that's like a lot of the times what we focus on with creators as well, is getting that content. And we test it between a highly produced content or a standard creative versus UGC. And a lot of times UGC ads work the best.
So with the user generated content, where are some of the places you're using? Are you just using it to, are you taking your dollars to amplify their posts?
Sometimes we do that, but it's mainly for our own ads. So our own ads on Facebook and Instagram that we're using them on.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, I mean, you guys could have, and maybe you do, your own resident sleep doctor that could do recommendations and videos on your own site. But again, it's you tell your employee, right, telling people things, but it versus that kind of like third party, this is the mattress I picked and this is why, and I like it and I'm happy with it.
And that's stuff that we've tested as well, is do we want to run ads directly to our site or have someone else talk about it? That's why it's so important to work with these content influencers.
So when it comes to, I guess, tracking and measuring what you're doing on both teams, how is that coordinated and where is there similar measurements? I mean, you always hear if people are working with creators, they're looking at social signals, how many likes and shares and comments and things like that, engagement metrics versus actual sales, which sometimes can be difficult to track even with the best codes and links, because people just see the content and then open up a browser.
So when we do recruitment, we look at engagement. We'll look at the engagement of all their posts that they've been posting for the content creators. And that's how we really choose who we want to work with. They may have 30,000 followers, but the engagement is amazing. And they're getting a lot of likes and they're getting a lot of comments. But you might see someone that has 2 million followers and you can tell, look at reading the comments, that it just, they're not as relevant. So for that part of it, we look at engagement, but we're an ROI-driven company, very data-driven company. At the end of the day, it's sales for us. Although with influencers, you're not going to get the sale. It's a mattress. It's too expensive to get that immediate sale. So we do look at the full funnel tracking. Now we're able to because we're using Creator. Before we were using other platforms and we had to piecemeal that data together. But this has made it a lot easier where we can see that full funnel. So somebody may have clicked on a social media, like a story, and they may not have purchased, but then we can see, hey, they went to Forbes and they read an article and then they came back 2 weeks later and maybe they went on Rakuten and they decided they wanted to buy and get some cash back on it. That was that final sale. So we're able to see that full funnel, which really helps us. But to that point, we are also testing cheaper products. So I mentioned that one mattress, that's $199. So that's something that we're testing. Maybe that'll work well on influencers. We're still gathering that data to see if it's working, but it is looking promising.
Yeah, I think if you have an Airbnb and you want to put a mattress in there, you just want a good, cheap mattress, right? You're not going to splurge on a $2,000 mattress for an Airbnb, but or even like sometimes a kid's bed. So back to measurement. So you're saying, okay, we can see, you know, I know our reporting will show this concept of participated revenue and credited revenue. So if I were an affiliate and I were one of the touch points in the consumer journey, but I didn't win the commission click, let's say last click, but I was involved. So in a period of a month, I might have been involved in $1 million of revenue and credited with $200,000 of revenue that I actually earned commissions on. You guys can look at that and go, okay, we see the value of the overall partnership versus just what they won. I think that's really important across all partnerships to see that, but especially when you start working with the higher funnel, more awareness, and this high consideration where I'm not going to click and buy because one person said this is a great mattress. I got too many other things I'm worried about.
Exactly. And it helps you feel a little bit better about some of the media fees that you're paying too, because a lot of these sites now charge placement fees. So it helps us with that too. And we look at the full funnel and be like, okay, we paid this company, I don't know, X amount in placement fees. But now looking at, it may not have shown because maybe they weren't credited for everything, but we see that they're responsible for some touch point, like maybe $1 million worth. So that actually did work for us, that campaign. So it gives us that whole visibility and we're able to see the full multi-touch attribution.
And I think obviously, across your whole site, all your sites, all your paid media, earned media, and with the paid, these types of partnerships that we're talking about, this idea of incrementality or attribution, probably one of the few products that you have to accept that there has to be this many touch points, there has to be this much exposure before someone's comfortable making the purchase. And so I imagine that isn't as big of a concern. We hear a lot of retailers, we think we would have got that sale anyway, which is impossible to measure, but they almost feel like they should be able to put one touch point out there and get a sale versus the consumer isn't comfortable without a little bit more information.
Yeah, no, I agree. The incrementality is a big one. For us, we do look at incrementality as well. Like you said, it's not as important. It does become important with loyalty, some loyalty sites. There is a particular loyalty set that we work with that always comes up every year if it's incremental. And that contribution report, I just go to that contribution report and I look at that number and I look at that percentage of solo sales that they brought in, and it always shows that it's really high. So it's great. So it works out. I love that report.
Yeah, those are great data points that definitely help managers defend or prove the value of partners, right? The hardest problem for a lot of people on these teams is they don't have the data, or they're not confident in the data, or they're looking at other data that doesn't have these facts and it's our Adobe analytics and this is what it says about this channel. It hardly ever goes down to the partner level. A lot of times it's just casting this painting with a broad stroke. This is the channel's performance, which I think is probably the biggest mistake when it comes to affiliate, especially because there's types of affiliates where when you're looking at search or you're looking at programmatic, there's not really types. It's the keywords and there's website placement impressions, but it's really more about the types of partners and are they additive to each other? Does it take multiple partners of the same type or different types to really produce velocity? Or
And who's taking share from who, right? Because that can happen too, because you could be running, like you said, there's different types of partners. There's SEM and you've got SEO. And some of the SEM guys may be taking share from the SEO guys because it's they see that first. It's at the very top. So we look at that as well. We're constantly looking at who's taking share from who. And it changes. If a lot of people happen to be bidding that same week, maybe Memorial Day is coming and a lot of people are bidding, because that's usually big for furniture sales. And we'll see that the SEO affiliates have lost a lot of share during those times because there's so much bidding happening on the SEM side of it. So we're constantly looking at that stuff.
So when it comes to the economics, I mean, you definitely have a leg up with the free mattress, right? You're giving somebody something that's, you know, $1,000, give or take. But there are still partners that are going to want something on top of that, besides the chance to earn the commission on the sale, like the placements. How do you guys negotiate those? And because for some creators, they're only going to do one mattress, right? I can't do a new mattress every week. That would be crazy, right?
So for us, what we've done is we just come up with a budget, right? We've got a set budget on a monthly budget that we know that this is specifically for creators. And we look and we get rate cards from everyone. It's more for this Sienna product, right? Like that cheaper mattress. The more expensive mattresses, it's fine. Really, that's all they want. They want that in commission, they're fine. Because they might ask for multiple mattresses. With the cheaper products, we do pay placement fee as well. But we're looking at engagement. We're looking at everything before we make that informed decision. So we track that all in Creator. We put the placement costs in there. We put the cost of the actual product in there. And then we're able to see how things back out and impact.
So from a spend and cost, so as an influencer, I feel like I got $1,000 because you sent me a $1,000 mattress. You look at it as cost of goods. So it's obviously a fraction of that. So that's how you look at when you measure your return on ad spend. You say, maybe I gave him a $300 mattress for cost of goods, but he thinks he got a $1,000 mattress. That's great for him. And then he earned a commission, which paid another $100. So now I'm $400 total.
Yeah, exactly. We look at all the COGS and any placement fees that we've spent and then base it on how much revenue they brought in.
So back to the two teams, they are obviously stood up separate. Is there any communication coordination currently between the teams? You don't see any risk of both teams working with the same partner?
No, we don't see that. Yeah, we're a very small and lean team. There's three of us. And I get my hands dirty as well. So we know who we're going after and who we're not going after. And we even have a list of do not work with list. So yeah. And I would say on that part, the do not work with, like, the vetting process, that's something that I don't know if that many people talk about. But that is, we've learned from our mistakes, but that is so important when you're working with both on the affiliate side and the influencer side. It's just that you have to have a good vetting process in place.
What can get somebody on the do not work list?
We have found some influencers that we worked with that had a past life that a lot of people complained about. They've made a post and then just our customer service got inundated with
comments. So it's requests. More vetting.
It's more vetting of that, yeah. With,
not how they're marketing you.
Exactly.
Maybe not exactly. A super favorable review, mediocre review. You're fine with that?
We hope. We have a good creative brief before. And we actually ask for it to see the review before it goes up. So
there's studies that show, like on Amazon, that actually all positive review products don't sell as well as positive review products with some negative reviews in there, because then it seems more realistic that somebody had to have a bad experience or bad attitude, whatever it takes. But
even
maybe the mattress wasn't.
But the mattress review sites, when they're doing their reviews, they don't just say, yes, buy this mattress. They say, buy this mattress if you're a side sleeper, but if you're a back sleeper, you might want to look at something else.
Right. Pros and cons kind of thing. Yeah. Right. Like not good for back sleepers, great for side sleepers. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. If you're going to review a product, you want to give everybody the both sides of the coin, right? So they feel more informed. Just out of curiosity, what do you think the consideration timeline on average? I mean, you probably know this, how long does it take someone to start thinking about buying a mattress to buying a mattress on average?
It's like 2 to 4 weeks usually, because it's a big purchase. And you'll see, especially the times of year too. It's like people wait for those holidays. They'll wait for it. So all the major, President's Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July. Christmas is usually not one, but right after Christmas, because people have money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we used to, when I worked at Beachbody, that was also a big time between Christmas and New Year's. And we called it Q5 back then, because it was just people had money. They were given gift cards or they were given cash, and that's what they were waiting on.
That's why a lot of companies, their fiscal year starts February 1st because of that. January is part of Q4, and November is really the beginning of Q4 for most people, not October. So yeah, it's interesting.
October is our worst month. People aren't buying mattresses. They're buying gifts for the holidays.
So back to user-generated content and putting money behind, how much more does that benefit your sales? Have you measured that? If you're getting user-generated content and then you're putting it in your own ads compared to just your own ads, how do those compare?
Yeah, we do measure that on the paid media side. We'll have like some identifier that marks which ad did the best. So on their end, it's really the ROAS, right? The ROAS and how it's doing. On our end, we look at the usability of ads. Let's say we got ads from 100 influencers and we were the usability for all those ads, because you're going to get a whole bunch of different ads. Some are usable, some aren't. We'll have a metric that will say, okay, 20% of them were usable and we were able to use them. So we'll know that if 20% at least were usable, we're good. So we look at the usability percentage of all the ads that we bring in.
But then when you use them, I'm saying compared to your own ads, how much better do you see them perform?
Oh, way better. Sometimes it's 2-3x.
So money well spent. I think a lot of people underestimate user-generated content, or they're not comfortable with it because they want the glossy, controlled ad, and they're missing out on 2-3x performance.
That Gen Z group, they want to see that authenticity. They're looking for real reviews.
Yeah, I think that's huge advice for people, is you should at least be testing it at some percent of your overall ads that you're running, maybe only 20%, but just create a control group. So any parting words or advice around any of this?
Yeah, I think don't get discouraged with all the Google changes, all the algorithm changes. Just keep track of what's going on. Check Google status updates. They definitely update everyone and what's happening. And hopefully in a month, things will turn up. And then on the creator influencer side, I just think like constantly testing, test different types. I feel like when people first get into influencer marketing, they think, oh, I've got to pay $20,000 for that person that has 3 million followers. And honestly, we made that mistake years ago. We're like, okay, let's pick one influencer. I think it was like 25,000. It was really expensive. Did nothing. Versus someone that had 10,000 followers that did way more in sales. So I think that really looking at that is a big one.
I hear that a lot, that especially like D2C, right? Where you're really looking for real engagement, and less followers typically means more engagement, more people that really not following them because all my friends follow them or other famous people follow them. So I'm going to follow them because I follow that famous person and they follow that. There's that kind of mentality, and those followers are pretty worthless when it comes to drive revenue, maybe get some awareness, but not everybody's going for that.
And lately, there's some influencers out there that are doing giveaways. A lot of them are doing these giveaways. I don't know if you've seen them, where they take a suitcase, right? And they've got like a Louis Vuitton bag in there. And they've got the new Dyson blow dryer. They've got $20,000 worth of stuff. And the way that you enter that giveaway is you have to follow like 6 other influencers and then tag friends. So yeah, they gained probably hundreds of thousands of new followers, all these guys, but not necessarily will convert.
You're doing it for a chance to win. Yeah, entering a contest. I think that's key. It's almost review their content to see that if they have been posting stuff like that, because obviously then their followers are less engaged.
Yeah, it is less engaged, really. Other thing to consider, I do listen to a podcast. I forget what the name of the podcast was, but it's from a content creator perspective, where they're learning from each other, the different content creators. And one thing that stuck out to me was that the content creators, they're looking for a partnership as well. They don't want to work with someone and be done right after their first thing. They want to work with a brand and work multiple times with that brand. And that's really important. They're looking for that partnership. So they're willing to work with you. And we've got some influencers that we've worked with several times.
Well, after I've opened my mattress, which was the super exciting part, having a 30, 60, 90 day, hey, just let you know, I'm still sleeping on this mattress. It's gotten better, or it's just as good as I expected. I think that's important too, is those follow-up posts, giving everybody an update that this mattress is still great.
People with kids, let's say, be like, oh, I bought this for, let's say, my son, and now his sister got jealous, so we had to get them a mattress as well because they slept on it. One of our own employees, she got a DreamCloud mattress for her daughter, and she got jealous. She's, when my daughter's not home, I go and sleep on that mattress because I love it so much.
Well, all good info, advice. Appreciate it, Jen. Thanks again for coming on and sharing all this information, opening everybody's eyes to the world of mattresses in a box. It's a lot more than you imagine to it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Instead of focusing only on one stage of the funnel, brands can benefit from capturing consumers' attention at every stage through the combined power of affiliate and influencer marketing. Like Jen mentioned, both of these channels are vital to keeping consumers engaged and more informed. Content partners reviewing products, and influencers unboxing and using products in real life. Today's buyers, especially for products with high AOVs, want to research products thoroughly before making the purchase. Throwing branded ads and plugging yourself in at random parts of the journey is not enough for most brands wanting to make an impression that leads to a conversion. Although search engine algorithms can impact content rankings, it is still beneficial to work with content partners, as consumers will pursue knowledge on their own and through publishers they already know and trust. By developing a strategy that intentionally fits affiliates and influencers across the entire funnel, you can keep your brand top of mind for consumers, improve brand value where they naturally look for product insight. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
Thanks for listening to The Partnership Economy, brought to you by Impact.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the show and rate and review it on Apple Podcasts.